Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday to you. This is Steve Sappington. It's the last day of February, February 28th, 2010. Goodness, where are the first 2 months of this new year gone? I'm recording this actually a few days before then, and I'm looking out and seeing the snow on our yards, and so that was a nice snow. The kids and I yesterday went out and had a snowball fight and kind of built part of a snowman, but we got cold, so we came in. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed the snow and were able to travel safely if you had to travel during that time. My name again is Steve Sappington, and the name of this show is Enriching People's Lives, and we hope this show does enrich you today. We'll remind you, for those of you who may not have heard our show before, that the first person who contacts us will receive a free copy of our book. The name of our book is Today's Word on Money. It's a 40-day journey that examines the spiritual components of today's financial problems. You know, most of the people that I hear discussing the economy and the financial situation we're in now, you know, they just talk about financial solutions, but I truly believe that there are spiritual solutions that that must be included, or the financial solutions really won't solve anything. So I hope you enjoy the book. The first person to call me or email me will receive a free copy of the book, and you can call us at 751-0565. Or you can email us at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. Or you can look at our website. That will give you contact information, too. The website is todayswordonmoney.com. That's all strung together, todayswordonmoney.com. And lots of good information on our website. You can sign up for our monthly newsletters. You can read previous newsletters. You can click on the Facebook and Twitter little boxes there and follow us there, or read our tweets and our different Facebook posts. You can read our blog. You can read sample chapters from the book. You can read testimonials of people who have endorsed the book. You can also listen to these shows. There's a tab that says shows, and you can click on that and pull up any of our previous shows and listen to it whenever you want. So if you're getting ready to leave your home this morning for church, and or you're just about to get out of your car and go into the church building, you can go back to that website and hear the rest of the show. So that's something that you can do. You can also go to our archives and read previous newsletters. And so there's a lot of good information. Of course, you can also buy the book. The book sells for $12.95 plus tax in Texas. I think it sells for, like, including tax, it's like $14.02, something like that, if you're in Texas. If you're on my website now and you're in a different state, then you don't have to pay sales tax, so it's only $12.95 for you. It's about a 200-page book, so there's lots of good information there. Hope you enjoy it. So we want to share some good information with you this morning. We're going to start with one of my the folks I really respect. He's been a mentor to me in many ways. His work, I've attended a workshop of his, and then I get his regular emails. His name is Oz Hillman, and he has a daily email he calls TGIF, Today God Is First. And this one came about a few days ago. He first quotes Isaiah 64:8, says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And then Oz continues. He said, "The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make up three distinct aspects of the Godhead. Each of these persons form the Trinity and contribute to the overall work of God. The Trinity reveals God's belief in teamwork. Even God brought a team together to accomplish his purposes. The Leadership Bible gives us further insight into the distinct roles the Trinity plays." And this is from the Leadership Bible. It says, the three persons of the Godhead are never independent, but always work together in concert. Scripture records the work of the divine Trinity in the creation cosmos. See Genesis 1, 1-2, John 1, 1-3, and Colossians 1, 15-17. But this perfect and harmonious interaction was especially evident in how God made it possible for people who were formerly alienated from Him to be transformed into His beloved children. Paul first spoke of the work of the Father in accomplishing our salvation. The Father chose us before the creation of the world and sent His Son into the world so that through Him we could be adopted into His family. Second, the Apostle focused on the work of the Son in verses 7 to 12. Christ's blood sacrifice on our behalf paid the penalty for our sins so that we could enjoy salvation and redeemed lives. Third, the work of the Holy Spirit identified in verses 13 and 14 seals and guarantees our spiritual inheritance. Thus, the Father initiated our salvation, the Son accomplished it, and the Holy Spirit made it real in our lives. At the end of each of these three sections, the phrase, "to the praise of His glory," appears. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit perform distinct roles, but they work together in perfect harmony and agreement. This threefold team of the Trinity is committed to bringing you into full maturity in Jesus Christ. May the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit take your feet of clay and build a solid foundation for the praise of His Son. So that was from Oz Hillman's daily email. Today got his first. You know, it's aren't we thankful for how God ministers to us? I once heard that that in one sense, a good analogy for the Trinity is if you just take a typical egg. If you look at that egg, it has three distinct parts. It's got the shell, and it has the white, egg white, and then the yolk. Yeah, but when you once you take it apart, you can't put it back together. It's kind of like that when human beings with our limited understanding try to explain the Trinity. If we start dissecting it, it's hard to put it back together. So it's one of those mysteries that we'll learn more about when we get to heaven. But we're thankful for each of the specific roles that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit play in our lives and how they have accomplished our redemption. Glenn Reppel is my broker-dealer. Glenn and I have been friends for, I guess, 7 or 8 years. And I've known him longer than that. But he has a morning email that he emails out. This one's called the Four S's. It says the Four S's are sin, servitude, supplication, and salvation. One of the central themes of the Bible is the Four S's. Sin is the form of rebellion against God, started with Adam and Eve's disobedience. This was followed by Adam and Eve being banished from the Garden of Eden. They were separated from God. God sent His Son, Jesus, to redeem man of his sin. When you cry out in sincere supplication to God in complete brokenness, God saves you from His wrath and restores you. Sin, the prodigal son, went into rebellion, desiring his inheritance now, and left his father to squander his wealth and wild living. Servitude, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he, the son, began to beg for food. Supplication, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father." That's from Luke 15, 17 and 20. Now, in terms of salvation, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. When you seek your father in true confession and repentance, God restores you and brings you into relationship with him through Jesus Christ. God is restoring families. He's healing relationships. He's bringing children back to the Father. He's breaking down people so they can be restored and put back together. The financial issues, health issues, relationship issues, work issues, and moral issues are part of servitude. Cry out to God for deliverance. Seek Him with all of your heart. Do you desire to go back home to be with your Father more than living in your bondage to sin? As the deer pants after water, my soul longs for you, O God. The prodigal son repented and was not worthy to be called son. He confessed his sin with all his heart. His father was happy to greet him and restore him. All of your selfish religious effort will not restore you to your Father. It comes through brokenness of your spirit, so the Spirit of God can enter. You know, I was thinking the other day how, so often we as people overestimate our sins or our problems and underestimate God's forgiveness and the power of the blood of Jesus to redeem us and to solve these seemingly insurmountable problems that we face in life. And you know what? We too often underestimate God, and we sometimes try to place our, you know, I've heard people say, well, God couldn't forgive that. Or, you know, we put up on a pedestal, you know, we think that what we've done is so bad. And again, we have sinned, but God's power, He has power to forgive everything. The only thing God can't forgive is He will let us choose not to serve Him. He'll let us choose to reject Him. And so God, since He is a gentleman, He won't make us become His children. He wants willing children, not children who are forced to obey or serve Him. So, you know, I look back at my own life and the mistakes I made when I was younger. A lot of immoral activities that I was involved in. And, you know, I just thank God for second chances, for His redemption, for His forgiveness and mercy. And so if you're listening to this show today, I encourage you, if you have not ever asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you've not ever developed that relationship so that you can speak with God just like you speak to another person, and you can hear what God's will is for your life, and you can learn what a great plan He has for your life, well, I encourage you just to right now just say, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned. I've made mistakes. I want to do things Your way. Please come in and take control of my life. I yield it to You, and I trust You to do the very best things for me, Lord, even when I don't understand it. So please save me and be the Lord of my life. And so if you'll do that and really mean it, God will save you, and He has a tremendous, marvelous plan beyond what you can imagine or think. If you just prayed that prayer, then you are in for a great journey, wonderful journey, as God will show you what He's been holding for you, just waiting for you to turn your life over to Him. many of you have heard Terry Ermoyan, and his ministry is Pure Freedom Ministry. His ads are run here on KBDE and KSUR. And I'm on the board of Terry's ministry. It's called Pure Freedom Ministry. Well, this is a something that Terry sent me recently from A.W. Tozer. It's entitled Ungifted Hands. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. This is Philippians 2:13. The important thing is that the Holy Spirit desires to take us and control us and use us as instruments and organs through whom He can express Himself in the body of Christ. Perhaps I can use my hands as a further illustration of this truth. My hands are about average, I suppose, perhaps a little large for the size of my body, probably because I had to do a lot of farm work when I was a boy. But there's something I must tell you about these hands. They cannot play a violin. They cannot play the organ or the piano. They cannot paint a picture. They can barely hold a screwdriver to do a small repair job to keep things from falling apart at home. I have ungifted hands. You will agree that it would be foolish for me to try to bring forth any delightful organ music with using such ungifted hands. Is it not appalling, then, to think that we allow this very thing to happen in the body of Christ? We enlist people and tell them to get busy doing God's work, failing to realize the necessity of the Spirit's control and functioning if there is to be a spiritual result. This is from what A.W. Tozer entitled Tragedy in the Church, The Missing Gifts, pages 30 and 31. And the prayer then is, Lord, may the reason we enlist ungifted people is that the gifted people aren't functioning properly, aren't using the gifts You gifted them with. Maybe that's the reason. So please move in our midst, Holy Spirit, so that everyone in the body might actively serve, each one using the gift that he's been given for Your service. Amen. I want to remind those of you who maybe are just now tuning in, the first one who calls us or sends us an email, we'll receive a free copy of our book, Today's Word on Money. The phone number is 751-0565, and the email is sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, click on contact, and that will pull up an email for you. That's the website is todayswordonmoney.com. Many of you probably know a good friend and mentor of mine, Homer Owen. Homer lived in Israel for almost 10 years, off and on, from 1998 to 2008. And Homer has what he sends out once or twice a week, maybe more sometimes, what he calls an epistle. And this one is entitled Preparing for War. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Matthew 24:6. The reports we're getting out of Israel these days is that the nation is preparing for war. When we moved to Israel in 2000, it was the same. What Jesus says in the above verse is truly being fulfilled right before our eyes. The important words given by the Lord in telling us that we will be hearing of wars is that we are not to be troubled. Wow. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. The Lord tells in another place that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of what is coming upon the earth. The doctors are telling us that one in every three have blood pressure problems today, and most of it is caused by stress. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Luke 21:25-26. Praise God, the very foundations of the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. God has given us his peace and joy along with the gift of righteousness, which is all that we need to face all of the reports that are coming forth each day from a sin-sick world. Homer says, I had a woman write to me the other day telling me that most likely she needed to pay more attention to fighting the devil each day. We must make the correct decision in regards to fighting wars. If we are not careful, we'll be distracted by the wars in the world and not take action against the enemy of our souls. Boy, that's true in politics now, isn't it? And this back to Homer. He says, may God help us to discern in these turbulent times. It's going to get worse in the world, but the great news is that it's going to get better in God's kingdom. And then Homer says he has a video about from some friends of his in Israel. So if you'd like to find out more about it's a nice video. It talks about the settlements and how the media and many of the politicians have distorted what settlements really are in Israel. And of course, I encourage you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Hope you'll do that. If, again, if you'd like to receive any of these, find out where you can get these emails or get on these lists that I'm reading from, give me a call or send me an email. Hey, I've got something a little bit different to share with you. We've set up a home-based business for my son. It's involved in the collecting of graded, certified gold and silver coins. And so if any of you are looking to maybe diversify so that you don't have all of your money in paper money, you want some of your assets in other types of you know, hard assets, we'd like to find out about some silver and gold coins, well, give us a call. I will show you my son's website address, and we'll send that to you, and you can shop for coins, or you can find out more about his business and so forth. So it's been fun for him. He likes history, and so he's learning about coins and I think making some money too. So if you'd like to find out more about that, again, I just feel like as Christians, you know, we don't want to be left holding, you know, worthless paper dollars. And so it's if you feel like the Lord is telling you you should invest or save some money in hard assets, well, then you might want to check this out. I have folks that ask me about gold and silver, and I've typically sent them to local stores, but this is something that people can order and then get the, you can actually have the coins shipped to your home right to your door. So if you'd like to know more, just give us a call. We've got another email from Oz Hillman here. It's called Prayerfully Arranged Marriage. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's from James 5:16. James Rutz, the author of Megashift, tells a wonderful story of God's supernatural hand in answering prayer. He says, I have a good friend named Barclay Tate who sells vacation real estate in Niceville, Florida. Back in 1977, he was a 36-year-old Florida basketball coach. That summer, he decided to hitchhike to a Christian conference in Front Royal, Virginia. Arriving 4 days early, he went to a nearby forest and pitched his tent by a stream. On the last day, a tall, thin hiker with a notebook under his arm suddenly appeared, startling him as he read his Bible. Barclay explained that he came out there to fast and meditate. Dave, the hiker, replied, Well, I'm an intercessor. What would you like me to pray for? Feeling somewhat overwhelmed, Barclay said, Frankly, I'd like prayer for a wife. The man wrote the request in his notebook and walked on. By 1988, Barclay, now married to Sherry, had been divinely guided to move to Asheville, North Carolina. A chance encounter in the Holiday Inn parking lot led to an invitation to join a gathering of a Christian group outside of town. Arriving just before the 7 p.m. meeting, the host walks in from the kitchen, stops dead in his tracks, and says, I know you. You're Barclay Tate. Barclay drew a blank. He said, Just a minute. And the host says, I have something to show you. He scampers upstairs, leaving the puzzled Tate standing in the middle of the suddenly hushed room. In a moment, the host reappeared with a well-worn ledger book. You see here? This is where I wrote your prayer request in column one when I met you in Front Royal in 1977. Quote, Barclay Tate, God's choice for a wife. Barclay looked down at the journal entry. It was the most detailed and methodical prayer journal he had ever seen. I prayed for you for 7 years, proclaims Dave. Then in the middle of the night, on December 30th, 1984, God woke me up out of a sound sleep and said, Write in your journal, prayer answered. So I did, see? Here in column two, prayer answered. Barclay and Sherry looked at each other with their mouths open. They sat down and their eyes filled with tears. Quietly, Barclay tells Dave, That was the day we were married. Wow, what a story about the power of prayer. I've got another little excerpt for a book here that I want to read you in just a minute. Again, I just want you to reflect for a moment on the power of prayer. You know, we so take that for granted, and we need to spend more time in prayer. I know I do. So I encourage you to do that too. We have a chance to be with the King of the Universe. You know, what person would not operate a car or any type of piece of equipment without, if they had a question, what person would not turn to the owner's manual? Well, God wrote the owner's manual for life with the Bible. And so he says he wants to develop that relationship with us. So I really encourage you to go deep with the Lord, to draw closer to him. It says he will draw closer to us when we do that. This is I'm going to skip ahead a few months here in my book for you. This is from, I wrote a few things related to American holidays in my book, in addition to the 40 days of journaling. This is from Labor Day, and it's called Business People in the Bible. I'm a businessman, so I like to see what God's Word says about business. So this is my book, Today's Word on Money. It says, I'm convinced that one of the biggest moves of God in the 21st century will be in the workplace. Around the world, God is touching business people to live out their faith 7 days a week, whether they're inside or outside of a church building. Whether they're inside or outside of a church building. Let's learn more about Bible heroes who are used by God in the marketplace. As we read God's Word today, it's easy to overlook the fact that many of the main characters in Bible stories were, quote, successful, affluent businessmen or businesswomen. Usually the Bible focuses on the spiritual lesson that the reader or the Bible character should learn from the events within the Bible story. And because of that spiritual focus, if we speed read these stories, then we can miss out on their applications to all areas of our modern day lives, including our finances. So let's look at some brief examples. Boaz is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, as is Ruth, for whom we named our first daughter. Not only do we read about Boaz in the book of Ruth, we learn in Matthew that Rahab the harlot from Jericho was his mother, and that he was the great-grandfather of King David. In Ruth chapter 2, we learn that Boaz was a giver, and that he had compassion for the poor. In chapter 3, we see that he was honorable, that he was careful to protect Ruth's reputation. And in chapter 4 of Ruth, we see that Boaz was wise, that he complied with the laws of his day, and that he was a superior negotiator. Further, he was a good steward of wealth because he had funds quickly available to redeem Naomi's land. And from Ruth 4:9, this included all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's, and all that was Mahlon's. So in other words, he had funds available to buy a sizable piece of property. Here are some quick sketches of other Bible characters. Job, for example, was the greatest of all men in the East, even before his wealth doubled. Abraham was very wealthy in gold, silver, and cattle. He had so much livestock that he and Lot had to part ways in order to have enough food for their animals. Isaac sowed in the very midst of famine and reaped a hundredfold that year. He was great, then very great. Jacob had a wealth of physical and family assets. The Shunammite woman was a notable woman. She fed and built a room for Elisha and Gehazi, and she owned land. Esther was an entrepreneur. She oversaw a brief catering business. She was a great negotiator, and she risked her life for her people. David was multi-talented. He gave hundreds of millions toward the building of the temple in Israel. Solomon was the richest man to have lived so far. He had multiple business interests and areas of expertise. Hezekiah was a godly king and a very talented businessman and builder. Lydia was a seller of purple to wealthy people. She had the means and the space to house Paul and Silas and others. Joseph is another of my favorite characters. Can you imagine being a teenager believing God has told you that you'll be a great ruler and then having to wait 13 years before that dream is fulfilled? And while he was waiting, he was either a slave or a prisoner. Yet even in those lowly places, God made Joseph prosper in all that he did. When we study Joseph's life, we see that our timing is not always the same as God's timing. We also see that even when we do good, we may not be immediately delivered from circumstances that we dislike. But like the potter and the clay from Jeremiah chapter 18, if we will yield to God, he can use us as vessels in business to accomplish great things for his kingdom. Well, that's about all we have time for today. We're going to take a little sabbatical, so we'll be off the air here for a few Sundays. So if you miss the show, well, please call KSUR and say, hey, when's Steve's show Enriching People's Lives? When's it going to be back on the air? We'd like to hear from you, and that way we can get a better idea of how many people we are impacting with this show. So thank you, though, for tuning in today. May the Lord richly bless you. We have enjoyed doing these broadcasts, and we hope to come back soon. As we say every time when we leave the show or sign off, you know, may this be your best year yet. Not your best year ever, but your best year yet in every area of your life. May 2010 be your best year yet. May the Lord richly bless you in every area of your life, so that you are promoted, you have great work, you enjoy your work, and you're doing God's work. So we thank you for tuning in today. May the Lord richly bless you. And this is Steve Sappington saying goodbye for now. Thanks for listening to Enriching People's Lives.